7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, begin transmission.
Time is 19:30 UTC, and that means it's time to begin the Dubious Ghost Committee. Oh yeah, hello, and once again, welcome to the Dubious Ghost Committee. My name is Tobe. I'm the chairman of the Dubious Ghost Committee. And sitting right here, literally at my elbow, is the sergeant at arms of this committee. That's right, it's Pippa, my cat. She's so fluffy and she's sitting here. Hi, yes, I'm talking about you. Now you have to rub your face up against me. She's sitting right here on the edge of the bathtub. What are you doing? Now she's trying to turn around. Don't knock the teacup off and please don't fall in. I wasn't ready for this. I wasn't ready for the committee to start yet today. Oh, God. Because I'm still in the bathtub. I thought I would have plenty of time to deal with this. But I don't know. I guess I started spacing out. And so, yeah, I'm sitting here because... Whoa, see, the cat almost fell off. You almost fell off there. And if you were to fall into the tub instead of out of the tub, that would be bad. Oh, the cat has never fallen into the bathtub while I've been in it. But somehow I just know that the day is coming. And it might be coming soon because like last week she fell off the bathtub. And there's been some other slips where her feet almost went into the water. Oh my God, it's like a time bomb. It is like a ticking time bomb. Anyway, so I woke up about, I don't know, an hour ago. Okay, she just jumped up onto the toilet. You better not climb that stack of books. What's this cat thinking? Okay, so anyway, yeah, don't even think about it. Now you're just knocking stuff around. This is why you don't let cats into the bathroom. Anyway, about an hour ago, an hour and 15 minutes ago, I woke up and I said to myself, oh, it's such a lovely morning to be staying asleep. I think I'll go back to sleep. But I couldn't really go back to sleep. I don't know why, I just wasn't all that tired. I flopped around on the floor for a little while. And I thought, should I just get up or what? And so while I was laying there, I was kind of stretching. I was flopping around on the floor and I was stretching, and I started to do that back stretch and leg stretch that I do, and then everything started going bad very fast. My left leg started to cramp up. And it started getting really bad, and I'm like, oh my God, it's getting really bad. And then it went full on yowzers, and I was like, oh my God. And I sat up really fast, and I was just about to scream in pain when everything started to release. And I was like, oh, thank God. So it was kind of hurty. And then I laid back down and I was just sort of flopping around some more going, oh my God, it kind of hurts. Is this going to get worse? Is this going to become some big kind of leg crampy freak out bad thing? Because the last couple days I've also been a little bit twitchy. But the doctor said that I could be expecting this to happen. And so, yeah, this is not a big deal, but eventually, I decided to get up. I was flopping around on the floor for another 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes, and I thought, okay, it's time to get up. And so I got up and ate some food, pepperoni and waffles, and I made some tea, Gaoshan. And then the next thing I did is I got into the bathtub. So I'm sitting here drinking tea in the bathtub. It's like my favorite thing to do. Ah, so good. Oh, really nailed it today too. Good Gaoshan. So my leg is feeling a little bit better. I've been sitting in here in the hot water for, well, over an hour now. And I had no intention to be in here this long. I thought, oh yeah, this will probably get all fixed and straightened out in half an hour, 45 minutes. I'll be out of the bathtub in time to do the Dubious Goals Committee. But yeah, no, I started reading my book. I'm reading Day of the Jackal by Frederick Forsyth. And it's getting really good. It's at the super good part. I kind of lost track of time. And my leg, oh, it doesn't hurt, but it's a little tight. It's, I don't know. It might be thinking about doing something. So I might have to take an NSAID or something just to kind of, a low dosage NSAID. Convince those muscles that they need to relax. Yeah. Good tea. My cat is sitting on the toilet. The lid is down, and so she's just sitting there looking at me flexing my leg. You like to watch my sexy legs, dingus? What my cat really likes is dripping water. So I like to lift my leg out of the water, and oh look, drips. Oh, isn't that fascinating? Oh my God. Some kind of deep kitty philosophical science. Look at that, oh my God, it drips. Oh, look at those drips. Cats. Okay, in other news. I thought I might need to make a hat. I have been making hats for a while. I am a hat-making type of person. And last night I had such a great idea that I had to write it down. In fact, I was lying on the floor. I was all prepped. I had my shirt on and I had my head covering on just right and I had everything adjusted perfectly and I was laying there. And then I had a great idea. Such a great idea that I had to sit up and actually dislodge my perfect bedding condition to write this idea down. And what I wrote down was basically, make, quote, turban, end quote. Yeah, so I need to make a turban. And the reason I wrote it down, the reason I thought of it was, well, you know, the other day when it was kind of cold, I was wearing like both of my head coverings at once just to keep my head nice and warm. And I thought, this is kind of dorky. This is a weird way to do this. I should just wear a turban, but I don't have any turbans. And I could make a turban, but a turban, a traditional real-life turban, is really just a long piece of cloth. And yeah, you have to know how to wrap this. And I don't know how to do that. And so instead I thought, well, what if I made a turban that was not really a turban, but it was a hat that looked like a turban. And that way I could just, you know, slip it on my head, slip it off as needed for when I need to keep my brains warm. And I thought, oh, this is a good idea. But how would I go about doing that? And then, boom. Suddenly, I had a memory of these turbans that we had and made for some show when I worked at the costume shop. And I thought, oh, yeah, that's a real easy way to sort of do that. Relatively speaking, if you have a sewing machine, which I don't have. And if you have the fabric, which I don't have. And if you have the batting or whatever that stuff is called, I can't remember, which I don't have. So one thing I could do today, but I probably won't, is go to the bank, see how much money I have. see if I have enough money to buy enough fabric and stuff to make this turban. And it's not that it really requires a lot of fabric. I just need to make some measurement. I wouldn't have to buy more than a yard of fabric, probably only like 3/4 of a yard. But then I need to get this other stuff, and I forget what this other stuff is called. But it comes on big spools, and you buy it by the yard. I'm going to need about 3 yards. That's 2.75 meters for all my logical friends. And I don't have a sewing machine that's functional. My sewing machines are broken. I got a broken baby locker and a broken sewing machine. Yeah. What I need is a makerspace for soft crafts. I don't need things like power tools. I know people with power tools. What I don't know are people who have, you know, industrial upholstery and sewing tools, which is what I also need. So anyway, I was thinking, yeah, make this turban. So I'm halfway thinking about going out to the fabric store today, and I'm trying to remember where the fabric store is now, because everything closed. The Joann Fabric at Miracle Hills is no longer there. I know that moved somewhere. Did it move further out west? I don't want to drive out Maple Street. I don't want to do anything stupid. I don't want to drive on any 8-lane divided Champs-Élysées. There's one thing I hating, if I hate, it is driving on the Champs-Élysées, and we've got like 50 of them in town now. So yeah, I need to figure out if I have any money to spend. And I really don't, because I gotta be saving it for stuff, because I want to buy stuff, but it'll only cost me 1 yard of fabric and 3 yards of this batting. Now that 1 yard of fabric, depending on how fancy a fabric, but still, it's not going to cost more than $10. If I don't even buy a full yard, we're looking at $5 or less. But I will need some longish pieces, so depends on how wide the bolt is. If I can get a 64-inch bolt, buy a yard of that. Regardless, then, you know, the batting isn't going to cost, you know, this isn't going to cost me $15. I just have to put in the work. Ugh, and I don't like to work. How's my leg? My leg is pretty good. So am I going to go out and drive around today? Drive around to fabric stores? Probably not. Although, this would give me an excuse to go to Mangelson's. They do sell fabric. I could kill a lot of birds with one stone. I could go to Mangelson's. I could get the fabric. I don't know if they'll have the batting. And there used to be a Joann Fabric next door that had the batting, but they're not there anymore. But while I was at Mangelson's, I could get some bingo dabbers. I could get some of those little plastic chips that I want. And I could check out the magic department, see if there's any magic tricks I need. There are not. Although there was something I wanted to pick up. A couple weeks ago, I was thinking, I need to pick up, I don't remember what it was. Some type of utility device, I'm sure. Good tea. But anyway, since my leg is feeling better, I think maybe we should probably get out of the bathtub, huh? That might be a good idea. And then we can do a real radio show. A real Dubious Goals Committee. In which I tell you about the rule set that I found. I found the rules of the game last night. When I was on my computer, I found a long lost file. I'll tell you about it in a minute. Ooh, yeah. Why, oy, why, oy, why, oy. Why, oy. No, it's not going to be time for Poputan. So I'm back. I'm sitting down here on the floor. My leg is feeling pretty good. It's a little bit stiff, but yeah, maybe some liberal applications of Tiger Balm will help that. So I'll get into that in a minute. So I'm sitting here in front of my computer, looking at this rule set that I was telling you about. This is a little bit hard to explain, but yeah, there's blah, blah, blah. There was a folder that has game rules in it that I've been working on forever. And I finally transferred all that stuff over to this computer, and I thought, oh, maybe I should look in that folder to see if there's anything worth a damn in there. And I found something that I had forgotten about. And this is a game that I have come up with that is basically ready to go. This is a commercially viable game. I just need to have some dice made. So hey, if you're looking for some kind of business opportunity and you want to be part of publishing a game that is relatively cheap to produce, this is it. And right now I just have this written down as Goat Dice. And
I think the only reason I ever did this is because I think I saw some dice that had a goat in place of the one pip. But regardless, this is a game that could be called whatever. We can worry about the marketing and the fluff later. This is a good game. And this piece of paper, this document, is very short. The rules are very simple. And it just says goat dice. And I'll read it to you as written. Game uses three identical dice and a goat marker. Okay, this goat marker can be a piece of paper that just says goat, or you could just use a little plastic toy, animal, little farm animal goat. That would be cool. So you need three dice, special dice, hold on, and a goat marker. Each die has three faces marked goat, two faces marked troll, and one face marked bridge. So this sort of implies some kind of the three Billy Goats Gruff sort of theme, okay? So you have three six-sided dice, and each die has three faces with a goat, two faces with a troll, and one face with a bridge. Players take turn rolling the dice, trying to get three of a kind, or a triplet. You're trying to roll three of the same thing. Players may re-roll any bridges once per turn in an attempt to complete the triplet. If the triplet is not completed, the dice are passed to the next player. If the triplet is made, one of three things happens. We'll get to that in a minute. Okay, so you roll the dice, and let's say you get a troll, a bridge, and another troll. Okay, you can re-roll that bridge die to try to get the troll, to get the third troll to complete your triplet. All right, so if you end up making a triplet, if you either roll it the first time or if you re-roll some bridges and you get a triplet, one of three things happens. If three goats were rolled, that player becomes the goat and takes possession of the goat marker for the time being. And the dice are passed to the next player. The game continues. The goat can be stolen by other players in subsequent turns. If three bridges were rolled, the game ends and that player is the winner. Whoever rolled three bridges is the winner. If three trolls are rolled, the game ends and whoever the goat is wins. If there is no goat, the player who rolled the trolls wins. Okay. Make any sense? It should. This is good. This is pretty damn good. So yeah, you're trying to roll three of something. And if you get the three, if it's goats, you become the goat. If it's bridges, you win. If it's trolls, then whoever the goat is the winner. Now you might think, that's kind of a lame game though, Tobe. Yeah, it's a brilliant mechanic. Clearly you're some kind of dice gaming genius. I know, right? But it doesn't seem like it's very fun. I mean, it's just, and it's random. Yeah, okay, one, this is a completely random game. There's no strategy. Really, that you just roll the dice. So yeah, how do you make this interesting? Well, you introduce money. There are optional rules. Okay, optional rule number one for potential gambling or making it fun purposes. This is kind of just a social game. This is meant to be played by a lot of people. You want like five or six at least players. If you can get a dozen players of this, yeah, it's gonna get crazy. And yeah, obviously you want to be drinking or ingesting other forms of recreational pharmaceuticals when you play this game. But here's where it gets interesting. You get out the money. You get out your money and you decide what the betting unit is going to be. Whatever that unit is, maybe it's 25 cents, maybe it's a dollar, maybe it's a $100 bill. Okay, before the game starts, each player antes. They put one unit in the pot. Okay, before the game starts. Once the game starts, anytime someone becomes the goat, anytime three goats are rolled, anytime that triplet is completed, everybody has to put another unit into the pot. And then whoever wins obviously gets the pot. So that's the simple, that's the sort of the simple gambling version of it. You can go in a couple of other directions too. And so, yeah, what are we going to call this game? Goat dice? Gruff dice? Billy goat? You could call it all kinds of things. Doesn't matter. But yeah, this is good stuff. So now all I need to do is get some dice made. And the funny thing is since I wrote this, I don't remember when I wrote this. It's probably been around 10 years. In the meantime, I have sort of learned how to make dice. But I don't want to, because one, first you got to design the dice in computers and make computer files. Then you got to do 3D printing, which absolutely sucks. And everybody says, oh, 3D printing is the greatest thing. 3D printing. Oh, 3D printing. Yeah, but it takes so long and it's so expensive. What are you talking about? It's so cheap. You can get a 3D printer. Yeah, but those $100 3D printers are junk and then can't do what I need them to do. Well, Tub, you can go to your makerspace. No, I'm not going to the makerspace. I'm not spending any money to join a makerspace, and nobody in the world is ever going to call me a maker. Maker, I'm a maker. Yeah, I can tell you didn't finish high school because you don't know the word for people who make things. I'm a maker. Are you going to go to Maker Fest? No, I'm not. But yeah, the cheap way to make dice is really the expensive way at home, because you got to 3D print the dice and then, you know, make a mold from that, or you could just 3D print dice, but that takes forever. So you make a mold, you cast them out of acrylic, blah, blah, blah. Don't want to do it. There are companies who will make dice for you. See also Chessex and Coplo. And I'm vaguely familiar with the Chessex system. And, you know, we only need one die made. And they are all the same, blah, blah, blah. And I wouldn't mind if we made 300 of them so that we had 100 sets. I would hand color. I'd be willing to hand color 100 sets of dice. Get out the old rub and buff and just start coloring the faces of the dice. And of course, we're going to get good ones. We'll get really nice dice, 14 millimeter or larger. But if they're 14 millimeter, then we can put them in these standard tubes. 14 millimeter dice, ball corner, maybe porcelain finish. I don't know. I don't remember if Chessex has porcelain finish. Regardless, it's not going to take any effort to actually have dice made. It's just, you know, send them the files and a check, and then they send you a bunch of dice a week later or whatever. Yeah. What was that? Oh, but yeah, then I got to come up with the art. Got to come up with a little line art. You got to do all this other sort of stupid stuff, the part that I don't want to do. But I would do if I thought this was going to be a thing. Tobe, why don't you set up a Kickstarter? No, there's not going to be any Kickstarters. That's the stupidest thing ever. I'm not going to give somebody else a percentage of my money just so I can say that, oh, I have a Kickstarter. Or, I'm pretty cool. I got a Kickstarter for my makerspace. You've been listening to the Dubious Goals Committee, a show that airs every damn day at 1930 UTC right here on Anon Radio. I'm a maker. I have a maker space and I got Kickstarter.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.